The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content.
Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Washington Redskins victorious. A last-minute push by the Vikings just fell short. Some good defense. By the way, I want to talk about the defense in that last drive for the Redskins. We'll do that a little bit later on.
Wait. Before you get started,
okay.
I want America to know that I was on Facebook the other day, and I saw that one of the two hosts of the show had a birthday.
Yes.
One of the two hosts of the show had a birthday. Now, that wasn't lost, you know, because a couple of other listeners to the show found out, so they decided they were going to do a tribute to Claude Jennings, and so I got a hold of Beyonce and President Barack Obama, who did a happy birthday duet. Here we go.
To you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Claude.
Happy birthday to you.
No, man, you know you must be pretty important.
Well, I mean, it's always great to have your friends show appreciation. So, you know, Barry and B, thank you so much for the birthday. Which, by the way, they came to my birthday party, so thank you very much for being in attendance. But thanks a lot, Kevin, and Beyonce, and the president, and all the wonderful listeners out there. Yes, birthday was Thursday. Hung out with the family, and we just kind of chilled. Just kind of laid low a little bit, you know what I mean? But, so speaking of good things, right? The Redskins beat the Vikings 26-20 to start off the second half of the season after not a two-game losing streak, but what felt like a two-game losing streak, but a two-game winless streak with the loss to the Detroit Lions in the last drive and then the weird tie to Cincinnati in London. The Redskins come back after the bye week and beat the Vikings at home 26-20 to go to 5-3-1. The Vikings fall to 5-4. And just from Jump Street, it looked like the Redskins were just prepared for this game, took advantage of the bye. They came out and got up to an early lead against the Vikings.
Yeah, it looked too easy. It looked too easy. It looked well rested. It looked like they were on a mission because they had to feel like it was they left something on the table in London. Just that tie had to leave, having to sit through that experience for 2 weeks, right? So, you know, you expected them to come out strong, and they did.
It felt like a loss, and that tie felt like a loss. And you expect them to come out strong, and they did. They scored the first points. And in what you necessarily don't like to do, as soon as I saw that they deferred to the second half,
you know,
I said, I can't wait to hear what Kevin has to say about that.
And you know, what I did say was as soon as they scored that first touchdown, I tweeted, you know, at FF Rep, I said, if they had received opening kickoff, they could have scored twice. They could have had the ball two times and scored twice. It's stupid to defer. All right, go ahead. All right.
So anyway, the Redskins go up 7-0, and on that first drive, very interesting, able to move the ball down the field. And the play, I believe the play before the touchdown, the Vikings they had two linebackers that just collided and both out for the remainder of the game, already bothered by injuries on offense. Now they had the two linebackers go out.
Yeah, and it was, you know, you don't want to say that injuries are fortuitous, but it was fortunate for the Burgundy and Gold that it happened because Kurt was in trouble and he threw the ball up for grabs. And the two linebackers, it should have been an interception, but two of them got hungry, were going after it, and just ran into each other full, you know, it's a violent sport. And they almost destroyed each other. Two birds with one stone, but, you know,
That's what that's called. And so the Skins go up 7-0, then a deep pass to Vernon Davis. By the way, Vernon Davis, as of late, has been a huge contributing factor to the Redskins' offensive success.
He has been the tight end. I don't know what's the other guy's name?
Jordan.
Jordan. Right. Where was he today? I was looking at one point. Is he still on the roster, injured reserve? Because he was the forgotten man at one point. But Vernon Vernon Davis, you know, a lot of people talk badly about Vernon, said that, you know, he had lost a step. He was washed up. He had, like, couldn't hold on to the ball. Mm-hmm. But he's, you know, a hometown boy, and he's proven that he's, you know, he's still got a lot left in the tank.
Absolutely. Vernon Davis on the day, by the way, 3 receptions for 66 yards. That one touchdown, again, that touchdown was a 38-yard touchdown, which put the Skins up 14-0. Jordan Reed, the aforementioned Jordan Reed, 2 receptions for 41 yards. And so that put the Redskins up 14-0, and you figure, okay, they're moving the ball. And here's what was very impressive about those first two drives on offense for the Redskins was the fact that for all the injuries that Minnesota has suffered on offense, their defense is still pretty good, The Redskins didn't seem to have an issue moving the ball and scoring.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting to me with the fact that Fat Rob Kelly started this game. They abandoned the run, but they didn't abandon it because, you know, when the running game of 3 yards is a successful run, right? Because you do that 4 times, it's a first down. And Rob was getting 2 yards here, 3 yards there, 4 yards there, but they kept running the ball throughout the course of the game. And that was very important. Now, they did come up to that 14-0 lead, but I was reminded of a game earlier this year against the woeful Cleveland Browns that they came up with that same 14-0 lead and it ended up trailing at the half. And when they scored 14 points, I tweeted at FF Rep. I got a bad feeling this, you know, we started out like this against Cleveland as well.
And what's interesting to note is that the same way it started that way against Cleveland is the same way it started this way against Minnesota. And Minnesota proceeds to reel off 20 straight points and take a 20-14 lead in at the half. And you're thinking, okay, here we go.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's interesting though, because I'm following Twitter and I'm following the media tweets, and apparently the people who are following, who they follow, are writing a lot about the defensive, about Joe Barry at this point, saying, you know, hey, run him out of town. There we go again. It's our old friend Joe Barry. And the defense, I think, was playing pretty well. They're playing pretty imaginative. We dialed up a few blitzes here and there. But I also tweeted early in the game, if you look back at the history of Sam Bradford's performances against this team, right, as a Ram, as an Eagle, and now as a Viking, he has always started slowly against this team. But he's always come back strong. So that's why I was trying to remind him, people, yes, this is still early. Bradford is not doing his best, right? And then he's a veteran quarterback. He figures out the defense, and he makes adjustments. Now, I see now that Barry is starting to make a couple of adjustments, but it's still pretty easy for a veteran quarterback to pick apart this team.
Pick apart the team. Yeah, you're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The Twitter handle, by the way, which Kevin has mentioned several times, thank you for the plugs, FFREP. You can follow us on Twitter, and you know, you'll see some very thought-provoking, deep insider tweets during the game. And so, by the way, like you said, that slow start by Sam Bradford, he picked it up in the second quarter. The Redskins trail at the half 20-14, but because they deferred the kick, they get the ball back in the third quarter first, which I know you don't like. And then we saw this whole thing.
They got the ball back, but they were trailing because they could have had one more possession in the first half. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But we see the rest. Then we see this theme of field goals starting to mount up. The Redskins, by the way, 1 of 4 in the red zone for the day. Now, don't forget that they did score 2 touchdowns, but that second touchdown was a 38-yard pass to Vernon Davis, so that wasn't in the red zone. 1 for 4 in the red zone, kicking a lot of field goals. That you can't kick field. You've got to put points on the board, especially when you're playing a defense like the Vikings defense.
You know, their offense changes when they get in the red zone. I guess it's like, you know, that card they have with all the plays on it. They must have they must wipe out all of them and have a certain group of red zone plays, which bugs me because they ran a certain group of plays to get from where they were to get to the red zone. Why not run some of those same plays again?
That seemed to work well enough to get you down there.
They got you from the 20 to the 30.
Exactly.
Maybe they can get you another 3 yards here. Everything doesn't have to be a touchdown pass from the 25. It worked for Vernon Davis, and it was a great route, a great pass, but as the announcers are so quick to say, it gets tougher down there because you don't have the deep threat, you know. So you can bunch, you can play a little tighter. So they need to work on that. They really, really, really need to work on that.
And so what? 4 field goals later, the Redskins end with a 26-20 win in a game with some late game drama. And again, the defense, much criticized, came up big when they needed to come up big, especially Preston Smith.
Yeah, Preston Smith made a play. I tweeted this also. Made a very heads-up play when he tapped the ball to himself, or some might call it athleticism, but, you know, that's a code word. We don't use that around here, right? But
yeah, smart play.
Yeah,
smart and
play.
Athletic. Why can't an athlete be, why can't he be smart and athletic?
Right, okay, in that case it was both. Because he tapped the ball up in the air, tapped it to himself.
Yeah, such an athletic quarterback. Well, he's awesome. Anyway, we won't go there.
Smart play by Preston Smith, who has been much maligned in the media this season as well for some reason. I don't know. He's doing the best he can. He has to be in a position to play. And he has to be in the game, right? You know. And this is a side note. Who was number 13, man? Where'd he come from? Wide receiver? I don't remember his name, right? But he caught like four passes, but the out route that just couldn't.
You're talking about for Minnesota, right?
No, for the Burgundy and Gold. Morris Mitchell.
Harris.
Where did he come from?
Well, I mean, look, I believe Matt Jones was not even active for the game, right? And so with him not being active, I think it opened up a roster spot. I'm not sure where. And here's the thing, I think he wasn't active, and here's another thing we got to talk about: DeSean Jackson. Not playing today either.
Right.
You know, we all understand that Pierre Garçon, who had a pretty big game, and DeSean Jackson are in contract years. You know, Jamison Crowder has been stepping up big time. And so, you know, with Crowder and Reed, and we still haven't seen, you know, we're still waiting to see Dobson get on the field. I mean, you know, we could be seeing a team that's like, hey, if we're moving this ball down the field and things are looking good without DeSean in the game, we may be willing to part ways with them.
Well, I think it would be a money move if they did. And
especially with Harris coming on the way he has. Maurice Harris.
Yeah, if you can pay Harris like $1.50, right, to play, you know, so yeah, you can save some of them, because they're going to have to play Captain Kirk, too, if they decide to keep him, right? Because they're still up in the air, right? You know, because you're going to tell me that you couldn't tell from last year whether Kirk was your guy or not, right?
And the thing is that I'm not necessarily seeing a better or even just a different Kirk than what I saw last year. I'm pretty much seeing the same quarterback.
I am Captain Kirk!
Yeah, we know who you are. We know who you are. You are who we said you are.
I'm pretty much seeing the same guy. Like, I'm not seeing, you know, now I'm not seeing the Kirk that finished the season in that four-game stretch, which is phenomenal. I'm seeing basically, you know, like an average of what he was last year.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for those Vikings knocking themselves out, we would have seen that the year prior to that, Captain Kirk throwing the ball away in the red zone.
Which we saw against the Cowboys, and Barry Church caught that interception in the end zone. But Kirk Cousins, by the way, let's look at these numbers for him. Pretty good day, 22 for 33, 262 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Although, like I said, that was a definite pick, except the guys kind of collided against one another. Robert Kelly in for, well, we know 2 weeks ago, mysteriously, Matt Jones had an injury.
Yeah.
And we didn't see him get hurt. No one said anything about it until right before the game. So now I think the truth comes out, and Robert Kelly is the starting running back for the Redskins now. 22 carries, 97 yards, and he's a hard runner.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess the question was, and we don't see what happens in practice, could he handle the NFL workload? Can he carry the ball 25 times a game? And he did.
Right.
And you know what? The impressive thing was, it was all positive yardage. Even if it was a gain of one, a gain of two, it's all positive yardage, right? Not a lot of tap dancing in the backfield trying to find the hole to break the big run.
Right.
And he did have a couple of mid-sized running. One was like 29 yards, right? But, I think he's a serviceable back. It's the way they manipulate the roster, though, is just so baffling to me, because a guy can be starting 1 week and inactive the next week.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the issue is that, you know, allegedly you move on from Alfred Morris because you feel like you've solved your running back issues. And then seven games in, you're switching running backs. What was the point of getting rid of Alf if you were just going to, if all of a sudden after seven games, you know, Matt Jones isn't the guy? And again, I did not see a different Matt Jones from what I saw last year. It's not as if he had an impressive year last year. We can move on from Alf. And then, you know, the first seven games, he just fell off the face of the earth. He was the same guy the first seven games as he was last year.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that our general manager, wow, what's his name escaping me? Scott McLuhan, you know, he's the best general manager we've had in this team in years. I think you got to harken back to the to the Joe Gibbs days to find a better GM personnel-wise. Mm-hmm. But he's not above fault. Now, remember, he was the one, if I'm not mistaken, brought Matt Flynn to the Seahawks with a big free agent contract from the Packers, right?
Right.
And he was beaten, Matt Flynn was beaten out by Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm, so the man isn't without fault.
That was the team that they had Matt Flynn, Tavares Jackson,
yes,
I believe, and Russell Wilson. Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. And the rookie came in and deservedly won the job, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he did draft Russell Wilson, so, you know, late rounds, right? But he's not above fault. So he's just, I guess he's working it out as he goes along. We got to give some props out to Ty and Seki, though, who stepped in for the high draft choice, Trent Williams, literally. So he played well today. He played well. They didn't have to like sacrifice the offense to give him some help. And he sort of stepped it up today. So,
and you hear that cliche all the time, you know, next man up. And that was truly what happened in that case. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Redskins improved to 5-3-1 after a 26-20 win over the Minnesota Vikings.
Wait a minute. I know some of the Burgundy and Gold are listening to that. The Vikings got a player named Stephon Diggs. You might not recognize that because you don't think he's on the roster, because I noticed none of you all were covering him.
Well, see, and here's the thing that I want to talk about with that last drive. So, I mean, again, you're in that situation that drive even matters for the most part because of the fact that you kicked the field goal the drive before,
right,
as opposed to being able to punch it in the red zone. And so you know you've got to correct that. So the Vikings get the ball back with a chance to win.
Yes.
Only 7 points. The Lions did that 3 games ago to the Redskins. And all of a sudden, the defense like switches up.
Yes.
They're giving up plays in the middle of the field. They're going into this 2-minute defense. This, you know, I'm not sure if this is their version of what used to be called the prevent, but you know, everyone used to play prevent defense in the final minutes of a game. And they'll give up anything in the middle of the field, just nothing deep. But it's like, you know, why do that when the defense that you've been playing the whole second half has been effective to hold this team to 0 points?
It's a great question. And Stephon Diggs, number 14, he was wearing white in case.
And play after play after play, they go to Diggs.
And they just didn't stop. And then what really, it wasn't a great defensive effort in that last drive. Bradford missed a wide open McKinnon on the right side of the field. He wasn't covered. Wide open, which would have changed the result of this game, but why do they do that? What's the point?
I have no clue. But then they finished the game with a sack. It looks like at that last play, Joe Barry decided to dial him some pressure and pretty much play the defense that held this team scoreless in the whole second half.
Yeah, he must have had the lunch I had and he was sleepy. wait a minute, game's almost over. Let's dial up a blitz. Yeah,
or you know, you get comfortable with this 6-point lead and you're like, you know, you're not playing defense anymore. And I'm just not sure what that was all about. But good defense there. Again, the Redskins 1-4 in the red zone. You got to improve that. But here's why this game, I think, was a big deal. Actually, you know what? I'll talk about that on the other side of this break.
Okay.
On the other side of the break, we'll talk about the reason why I think that this Minnesota Vikings win was a big deal for the Redskins. And it's not just because everyone counts. We know that. But this is a big deal in trying to figure out where you are. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. The Redskins improved 5-3-1 after a 26-20 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings fall to 5-4. The Redskins, by the way, 3-2 at home. And that's one of the reasons why I want to get into why it was very important to win this game.
Before you get into that, I got some names I want to read off to you. I want you to just interrupt me when you realize what these names have in common. Okay, ready? Trey Burke.
Okay. Trey Burke.
Daniel House.
Okay.
Sheldon McClellan. Andrew Nicholson. Jason Smith. Marcus Thornton.
Well, I know for sure Trey Burke plays for the Wizards.
Yes.
Nicholson plays for the Wizards, too, right? Does Thornton play for the Wizards as well?
Yeah, they all play for the Wizards.
All right. Okay.
Now, who are these guys, man? They spent like $300 million on free agents. Yeah, and this is what they got? Come on, man.
I was having the discussion, by the way. You can hear the Wizards on these same airways,
That's right.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I was talking to, as a matter of fact, Brian Albin, producer of the Wizards.
Yeah.
And I got a round of golf in about a week ago. And we were talking about this, about how hedging a lot of bets on Horford or trying to get Durant in, and you're left with nothing. And so you end up going ahead and signing Bradley Beal to a max deal. You bring in Mahimi, and then you just got to fill the roster with a bunch of other people, and nobody knows who these – I'm watching the team. I'm like, I don't know who these players are.
You know what? Because they can't play. I mean, you know, granted, they might have NBA skills or something, right? But – they do not make your team better. They do not improve the chance of you winning games. No, they don't.
The whole point is to try to win as many games as you can.
Balance out the bench so it doesn't tip sideways and players are sitting on it. What are they doing?
Well, and the Wizards have started off with a pretty tough schedule, by the way. And it should now. Brian Albin did reassure me that the schedule should get a little easier. But the Wizards, man, has not had a great start to this season and just lost, if I'm not mistaken, Friday night to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, that's right. After John Wall has been kicked out of two games.
What I found very interesting is the fact that, he got kicked out of two games back-to-back. There was one, I don't remember who they were playing, but it came during a stretch where he was already kind of mouthing off a little bit to the referee and stuff like that. And so there was a timeout called. He walks by. Now, he did not bump the ref.
No.
He's walking by the ref. The ref is signaling something, and as he lifts his hand, Wall walks into his hand. So it wasn't like he walked over and hit him. And so that happens. Wall keeps walking. I think the ref says something to him. John Wall looks back and says something else to him. Rumor has it that it was it was something he shouldn't say.
Oh,
I wouldn't want my 40-year-old saying it. And he got kicked out of the game. And then the very next game, it's like he does a wrestling move and slams, I believe, Marcus Smart, right?
Yeah.
From the Celtics. On the court, it's like, John, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's getting frustrated. He must look at this roster too and say, what are you all doing to me in my prime? Right? You know, not like Scott Brooks. I think Scott Brooks is a heady coach. I think he knows the game well. I think if you ever saw Scott Brooks play, he's a tough guy. You gotta be tough to play in the NBA at his size, right? You know, and it's gonna take him some time to build a team. But they got to give him some better ingredients than this.
You know? That's the thing. And I mean, everyone's pointing back to what he was able to do with Westbrook and Durant in Oklahoma City. And I'm like, but he had Westbrook and Durant.
That night
I had something to do with
really.
What he was able to accomplish. The Wizards, by the way, starting the season after 9 games, they're 2-7. Right now, as you currently
I just
stand.
Had to get that off my chest, man. I didn't know anybody else. This is what the show is about, man.
Okay. It's about opening up and being honest about your feelings. The latest loss to the Chicago Bulls, 106-95. Coming up on Wednesday, they play the Philadelphia 76ers. Again, another struggling team. The 76ers, by the way, 1-8. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure the Sixers have that game circled, and they're like, great, the Wizards.
Yeah, we need a break. Yeah, okay. You can hear that right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Absolutely.
Right.
And then Thursday, they play the Knicks. And then Miami. So maybe they can get on a little roll here. But, I mean, if they can win those next three games, then, you know, you may be, you know, working your way towards
Whiteside's coming to town.
Then you may be working your way to the eighth seed.
Maybe. We'll take it.
Of the East. Anyway, the Redskins improved to 5-3-1 after a 26-20 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. And here's some reasons why I think that was a pretty big win. So the Redskins are 3-2 at home. Let's not forget that they lost the first two games of the season at home to Pittsburgh and to the Cowboys. And let's not forget the panic that set in all over the place. Now, we personally thought that, okay, they lost the first two games. They're going to go 14-2
is what we call it.
I think it was going to happen.
Right.
They lose the first two games. Panic all over the place. Kurt's not the guy. You know, Jay Gruden's on the hot seat. What's happening? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, get rid of the defensive coordinator. I'm still saying that. But
all this talk after that, and then they balance things out. They kind of right the ship, and then they go, I guess they went, 4-1-1
right.
in the next six games.
Right.
And things settle down. You have Minnesota coming into town, and then you have Green Bay next week before the Thanksgiving matchup with the Cowboys. I don't think you want to start the second half of the season 0-2 at home the way you started. Not that they would lose next week to Green Bay, but in order to get to 0-2, you got to be 0-1 first.
Yeah,
and so you don't want to be on the first step to starting the second half of the season 0-2 with both losses at home.
I think it was imperative that they win this game, just like you said, because it's the homestand. And number two, Aaron Rodgers got blasted today.
We're going to talk about that, too, when we talk about the next opponent.
He's going to be so upset when he comes to town.
He's going to be very upset. And so you don't want to start that way. But another reason why this win, I think, was really important is because you're playing the Vikings, who has been bitten like no team I've seen before by the injury bug. I mean, you've got two offensive linemen out. You've got your starting quarterback, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater, who went out before the season began. You bring in Sam Bradford. Adrian Peterson goes out as well. And so you've got this team who's trying to still figure out, you know, do we actually want to play this season? Do we just want to go ahead and just call it quits and say, hey, you know, we'll just catch you guys in 2017? Or do we want to play? And so they bring Sam Bradford in, and they have success early in the season. They're 5-0. And folks are like, whoa, what's happening? And they've got a great defense. And so you've got the good defense. Sam Bradford's making some moves. The team starts 5-0, and then they go on to lose three straight. And so you're trying to figure out, well, who is this team? They're trying to figure out who they are. You don't want to lose a game like that to a team that does not know who they are and what their identity is, and one that's kind of free-falling if you're one that's trying to make a playoff push, and the Redskins should make a playoff push.
Yeah, and some interesting things are going on in Minnesota with the resignation of the offensive coordinator,
Norv Turner,
last week. And it's just weird. They lost and both the tackles.
You know, and that was what was so weird, too, with Norv Turner. You hear of coaches or coordinators on losing teams getting fired in the middle of the season.
Right.
Very rarely do you hear of a coach or a coordinator resigning in the middle of a season and the team has a winning record.
Very rarely
do you hear that, but apparently there was just some disagreement from what, you know, sources are saying. There was just some disagreement on the direction of the offense. Norv likes to throw the ball downfield. He doesn't do a lot of the West Coast stuff. And if you remember any of his offenses when he was in Dallas with the Super Bowls with Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, you remember the offenses he ran here in Washington. He's not a dink and dunk West Coast offense kind of guy. That's just not what he does. And apparently there was some desire to run that type of offense in Minnesota. He didn't see eye to eye. And what's very interesting to me, too, is when you look at some of these coaches who are, you know, these coaching carousels where you get guys who used to be head coaches, then they're coordinators, and the coordinator somewhere else, head coaches somewhere else, and they end up being coordinators on someone else's team who they might have been coordinators with that person before.
Right.
And so you wonder, does any of the pride comes in? Like Mike Zimmer is the coach of the Minnesota Vikings. If I'm not mistaken, I'm going to look this up. I believe at some point in time they were, Zimmer was the Cowboys defensive backs coach in 1994, which is right through 94 to 99, which is the same time Norv Turner was there as offensive coordinator.
Right, right.
And so these guys have coached together. And so where's the ego, the pride, the back and forth, you know? And so some of that's in there.
Yeah, well, you got to figure the conversation had to go something like the head coach Zimmer said, Norv, I think on second down, second and one, we ought to be in the shotgun. And Norv said, man, that's crazy. Why would you be in the shotgun? You got a yard to go. Mm-hmm. And then he said, well, Norv, it's my way or the highway. And Norv said, see you later, right?
Yeah.
You know? Well, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going on there? So the Vikings were a team that was in turmoil. But, you know, even being in that tumultuous situation, they were a last-minute drive away from beating this team today, right?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, just, you know, we still got a little fine-tuning to do now. Now, I'm happy with 12-3-1 as a final record this season. I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
I can live with it. But we got some tightening up to do, right?
Yeah, well, tighten up to do, and by the way, the margin of error in the NFC East and in the NFC is not a wide. You know, it's a small margin of error. By the way, let's take a look at these NFC East standings really quick. The Cowboys, at the time that we're taping this, they're still in a matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but the Giants also play the Monday night game, if I'm not mistaken, and so we don't have what's going on with them. But the Eagles, 5-4. They win earlier today, and the Redskins 5-3-1. And so, you know, if the Giants win, they're 6-3. If they lose, they're 5-4. And so everybody's kind of lumped in there. Cowboys will still be in the lead of the division, win or lose, against Pittsburgh. But you still have a tight race for second. It looks like the NFC East should be able to get two teams. But, again, it's a long stretch in the second half, but they should be able to get two teams into the playoffs. Looking at the NFC South and the NFC West, it looks like the East and the North should be able to get two teams in the playoffs, the division winner and the second-place team. But, again, and you got Green Bay, who's coming in at 4-5, who needs to get this win as well for themselves to stay in the hunt for the playoffs, because they're one game out of first place in their division.
And they were embarrassed today, embarrassed by the Tennessee Titans of all people. DeMarco Murray on the first carry from scrimmage ran 75 yards. The Eagles are the mystery to me, though, because they're an enigma. Who are these guys? I mean, when the Burgundy and Gold played them, it was like Carson Wentz was a typical rookie quarterback. The defense couldn't stop anybody. But today they took the Atlanta Falcons, which they might have the number one offense in the league, right? With the unstoppable, well, they only held Julio Jones to like 10 catches, 160 yards, something like that. But they pretty much put the clamps on the Falcons offense.
Julio Jones, by the way, 10 receptions, 135 yards.
Oh, they held him to that. Yeah.
But they only had 15 points.
right.
Philadelphia beat Atlanta, by the way, 24-15, and so you're like, who? And then the same Philadelphia Eagles that really just worked Pittsburgh up and down the field a couple weeks ago, but then they come out and then you lay an egg against the Redskins. They lose a tight game in overtime to the Cowboys, and yeah, you're left figuring out, well, who is this team? Who are the Philadelphia Eagles? Kind of hard to figure out.
Yeah, and when we see Monday night game, the matchup, which is probably airing about the time this is airing on 1500 AM, the Giants and the Bengals, we'll see what we have there, too, because, with one of the most dynamic players in the game, and Odell Beckham Jr., a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, and Eli Manning, it's this league, I don't know. Pete Rozelle had this dream of parity that everybody had a chance to win, but I thought that he kind of figured out like a team would be like consistently good,
right,
and they would work their way up, but not like up and down like it is this year. But it's
and that kind of roller coaster thing. By the way, Tennessee, like you said, just gave Green Bay everything they could handle, 47-25, Tennessee over Green Bay. At home, Tennessee was at home. DeMarco Murray had 17 carries, 123 yards, one touchdown. Looked like, he had a tough season, and everyone did, with Chip Kelly in Philadelphia last year. Looked like DeMarco's back. DeMarco, by the way, 1-for-1 passing, 10 yards and one touchdown. So some trickery going on there.
Well, how does that work with fantasy football when a running back throws a pass?
I think it counts just the same as
the same?
as if a quarterback threw the touchdown. It depends on what kind of league. Some leagues honor passing touchdowns more than rushing touchdowns.
I had Rob Kelly, so it didn't matter. I was mad because I had Jameson Crowder that time. He took away 80 yards of punt return. Yeah. I didn't get any points for that. I said, well, what's the deal?
Are you in a league that don't honor those kind of points?
No, they don't. I didn't know that, right? I don't mention the network, or three-letter network begins with C and ends with S. I'm in their league. And no, unless they just cheated me.
They just cheated you out of that. And so, so by the way, so the Redskins are going to welcome the Green Bay Packers. It's the Sunday night game. I, by the way, am going to be at the game.
At the game.
It's going to be fun. Maybe I should think of something to do with fans. Maybe I should bring my little mini recorder, little digital recorder, and interview some fans before and after the game and see what's going on.
That'd be cool. Just make sure you get it like before they start tailgating heavy, right? Otherwise, right. We won't be able to use
which
any
means
of
I
it.
Should get there around 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we won't be able to use any of it.
And right. So Aaron Rodgers and the crew come to town. Aaron Rodgers is going to be upset. Aaron Rodgers just seems to be getting discount double-checked all season long. Tennessee and then a bad loss to the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. And then, if I'm not mistaken, they lost a pretty bad game last week. Let's see, who were they playing last week? The Colts beat them last week 31-26. The Falcons beat them 33-32. Their last win was against the Bears. I mean, they are 1-3 in their last four games. And so, again, this is a big game for the Redskins because, look, the NFC East is tight, the NFC itself is tight, and you've got a team like the Packers who are 1-3 in their last four games coming to your house. Primetime game. this can show, hey, we're actually going to make a playoff push. We are the NFC East champs, although I know Stephen A. Smith don't like them to tap that.
Well, if you recall, the last time they came to this house in a primetime game was last year in the playoffs. Right. And Aaron Rodgers had his way with
it. Discount double check.
The hard count, the quick count, the fat guys trying to run off the field when there was substitutes and all that. And that's what I said earlier. This team has a problem with veteran quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks who can identify the defense and make the adjustments.
Right.
Now, there wasn't enough time in the game today for Sam Bradford to make his adjustments and correct it. Sam Bradford started with a 14-point hole and came back. I mean, even the Eagles started out in a 14-point hole and came back. So they're going to have to start dialing some stuff up. They're going to have to get aggressive. We saw Preston Smith have a good game today. Ryan Kerrigan. The defense is going to have to do better. They're just going to have to do better. They're going to have to prove that they're championship quality. Not NFC East champion quality defense, but championship quality defense.
And again, it goes to actually one of Stephen A's points when he came on another network here, who I guess tried to call him out on his opinion, that it just depends on what your goals are. If your goals are to be the NFC East champs and all you got to, and just to make the playoffs, you know, and you'll be fine with the wild card berth, then that's one thing. But if your goal is more, and it should be more, then you won't be happy with that kind of thing. And so I guess, like you said, it just all depends on that.
I know it's not our goal here. We want to do the post Super Bowl game show. That's what we're looking to
do. And we want the post Super Bowl show to have something to do with the Redskins being in it.
Right. I mean, we're just telling you all where the parade's going to be. That's what we want to be doing post Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And try to be in the parade. So yeah, the Redskins, 5-3-1, again, in a tight NFC East. The Cowboys, again, at the time we're taping this, in a matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Giants play Monday night against the Bengals, and the Eagles beat the Falcons, who seem to be world beaters, really, at least the offense anyway, the first couple of weeks of the season. Coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, we're going to, again, preview the Packers game. We're going to take a look at the NFC East next week to take a look at the point. We'll maybe even do a couple of an early Thanksgiving preview against the Cowboys. It's a big deal, you know, with the Redskins and Cowboys playing against each other.
Oh, yeah.
On Thanksgiving, and then we'll also do a movie review. You're not just a sports guy. I mean, you know, you're a very well-respected man of the arts.
That's right.
With credentials to check out these movies.
We got something for the people.
We'll check that out coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report, the final segment of this week's edition. The Redskins improved to 5-3-1. Not bad after, 9 games? 5-3-1, that one kind of shock. I mean, to be honest with you, when I look at the standings, I'd much rather be 5-3-1 than 5-4.
Much better.
Two games. So yeah, man, 5-3-1 after a 26-20 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, where's your head? Where is your mind?
After that, a great win by the Redskins over the Minnesota Vikings, and so they welcome Green Bay coming to town. Now, you had something you wanted to mention, and we talked about it during this commercial break, with the field goal kicking situation.
Right, Dustin Hopkins, who was the reason that we're 5-3 and
speaking
one now,
of being 5-3-1,
as opposed to 6-3, right? You know, as opposed
now,
to that.
That's the thing. 6-3 feels a whole lot better. I mean, you feel really good going into the second half, saying, "Hey, we're 6-3. We're right in the middle of this." Matter of fact, control our own kind of situation here.
Well, there was a key point in the game, late in the game, where the team lined up for a 50-yard field goal, and and, you know, I know it's fresh in his mind about, you know, had to ride all the way from London with the knowledge that he blew that game in his head, right? You know, yeah, it was a field goal kicker's fault. Nobody else. You're in a position to win it or lose it, and he lost it.
Right.
But I don't know how many of y'all noticed, because they didn't really mention it. But the ball on the snap slid along the ground to get back to the hole, the Tress Way.
Right.
And Tress Way, in one motion, recovered the ball, scooped it up, and pointed it up. And Hopkins didn't miss a stroke, right? Yeah. Didn't let it get to his head. Mm-hmm. Just followed through and nailed the 50-yard field goal.
Right.
So the special team, like that team of Hopkins and Way, they you know, mad props to them, because that could have been disastrous.
And again, another big props to Preston Smith, that in the interception late in the fourth quarter.
Very smart play.
No, you know, and I believe with Minnesota driving down the field only down by 3 points at the time. I mean, at that point, a field goal ties it. There's more time taken off the clock. Who knows what happens? And so big heads up play, by both of those, folks right then and there. Now, you, by the way, Kevin, very respected, man of the arts.
Yes, yes.
Man of many talents in the media. And so you have, movie credentials to catch these previews, and you previewed what?
Doctor Strange. We actually previewed it right before the bye week, but we got lazy. We took some time off too. Right. But, you know, I'm a fan of the comic book movies, or I was until they started saturating the market with them. Like, every comic book has a movie now. And what bugs me the most about them is they don't follow the comic book. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. if you're a comic book fan, you're a fan of the comic book, you know, the storylines, you know, the characters. But it seems unfair that a producer or director can take a comic book, an imaginary character, and just steal the people's stuff and twist it any way they want to. Let me give you a perfect example. Last year, 2 years ago, I reviewed Man of Steel, the latest in the Superman franchises, right? Now, anybody growing up knowing Superman know the only reason he was Superman is because on Krypton had the red sun, and when the parents shot him Earth, the radiation from the yellow sun gave him superpowers, right?
Uh-huh.
The very first scene in Man of Steel, they were showing the skyline of Krypton, big yellow sun up there. I said, well, that blows the whole movie for me, right? So I digress. But anyway, so I'm a little bit more critical of the superhero movies as you should be as a movie critiquer, right? But anyway,
because you want them to follow the
Now, Doctor Strange was well.
No, just one question. Now, were you a big comic books person?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Well, not were, but are you a big? You know,
well, not now.
DC, Marvel. What's your thing? Both.
DC starting out, but Marvel back when I was a kid, way back when I was a kid, Marvel was more suited towards teenagers.
Okay.
Towards young kids. Now, DC had a thing where they would like try to reach out to kids, like Batman had Robin and Superman had the Superboy series, and they had the Justice League, and they came up with the Teen Titans, you know, to try to appeal to the youth. Mm-hmm. But in the Marvel comic generation of that day, the superheroes were the teenagers. The main ones, like Spider-Man, the X-Men, all these people were teenagers. They were like kids that had like all the kids had like a not like a troubled past or something, right? You know, they weren't the most popular or whatever, right? But they had this secret identity, uh-huh. right? You know, they were the ones saving the world, but they just couldn't get any respect, you know, because they were the typical teenagers.
Right.
And I really related to them, except for the superpowers part, right? Yeah. But one of my favorites of that era was Doctor Strange.
Uh-huh.
Because Doctor Strange, and I didn't know the origins of Doctor Strange, but he didn't have really a superpower, but he would manipulate the mystic arts, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, he studied under a guru, and he would, like, float around and levitate, and, like, it was a different world, and he would use multisyllabic words, right? He wasn't like, a Biff Pow Bam type guy, uh-huh. right? You know, he would use words that you had to go to the dictionary to look up, right? And I really dug that, right? So, you know, so I was quite pleasantly surprised when I found out that that Marvel Studios was going to attempt to bring Doctor Strange to the big screen, mm-hmm. right? And it was great.
Okay.
It was absolutely great, right? I mean, even...
My question is, for people who like the action movies but don't follow the original comics as closely as those who do and will get excited about seeing Doctor Strange... Do you think that it would be easy for them to catch on to the main kind of plot and the storyline behind Doctor Strange?
Very much so, because I didn't really, even as much as I follow them, I was not aware of the origin of mm-hmm. Doctor Strange, who he was in the prior superhero life and how he got there. And they did that very well. It turns out the main character, Stephen Strange, is a brilliant surgeon. Mm-hmm. I mean, brilliant. He just sees things that other people doesn't see. And he's just so cool, right? You know, he's just so cool. He's so cool, right? And so brilliant that he doesn't even operate on people that he doesn't think there's a chance of him like restoring, right? So
just won't even do it.
No, I ain't waste my time with you. You know, it might not work, you know? Uh-huh. So, and he was cool. He was the playboy, got the car, and he was trying to line up something, another surgery, another one of his brilliant surgeries. And he was in a horrific car accident.
Okay.
And his hands got mangled. And
which hinders his work.
Oh yeah, you can't. Yeah, the brilliant surgeon and the mangled hands, it just didn't add up, right? So he encounters one of the guys who he refused to operate on,
And the guy was playing basketball, right?
Right.
And they said, well, what's up with this, right? How can you do? Because, you know, as much as he tried, his life as a surgeon is over.
Right. Right?
Of course, his loving wife, she's still, oh, I love you, I love you. You're an idiot if you love me, because I'm not a brilliant surgeon anymore.
So
he
shoots it straight from the hip.
Yeah, right, right. He's like, no good. You hate the guy, right? Which is also an interesting twist, because you sort of like feel empathy for other superheroes, right? You know, I feel bad for him. No, you hated this guy, right? This guy's a jerk, right? You know, so the guy he found out, the guy who was Benjamin Bratt from Law and Order, used to be
right.
one of the cops of Law and Order, right? Who says, well, you know, I went to Kathmandu, right? You know, Kathmandu, where is that? You know, the Himalayas, man. Mm-hmm. I went and found myself, right? You know, you got to heal yourself spiritually before the physical thing matters, right? So he said, well, I tried everything else. I might as well check this out. The only thing I had against this movie, and they have a good explanation for it, is the leader of the monastery.
Okay.
Way in the middle of Kathmandu, up in the Himalayas, way up in the middle of nowhere, is a bald white chick.
right.
Who was played by, let's see now, was played by, what was the woman's name? I don't forget her name. I know Rachel McAdams is the girlfriend, but Tilda Swinton.
Okay.
And so that kind of took me off, because in the comic book, the ancient one and the sidekick were sort of stereotypical Oriental people,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And I guess which was accepted back in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. But America and the world said, nah, man, y'all can't be doing this, yeah. right? So
we don't want to offend anybody.
Right, we don't want to offend anybody, right?
You know? Bald white woman.
Right, right.
Yeah, pretty neutral.
Sidekick instead of being, really.
Nothing
really.
More
and that's,
neutral.
Yeah, nothing. If you need to like restore your soul, that's what you're going to find, right? You know? So, but the sidekick. And forgive me if I keep mispronouncing this guy's name. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't describe
him. I'm not offended. Yeah.
But you've seen the guy. He was, let's see, what else was he in? He was the main guy. Remember that disaster movie 2012?
Yeah.
He was the main guy he was the black guy who was putting everything together.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He plays Doctor Strange's sidekick and the Ancient One's sidekick. But the special effects, how things go from the physical world to the spiritual world.
Okay.
And the battles and the mysticism, it is fantastic. And getting back to your original question, you don't have to know a thing about the Doctor Strange character, because I didn't know about the
origin.
That's
what I wanna say, yeah.
And the way that they brought it about was just so in-depth and so cool, right? You know, the guy, you know, I have a choice of being like the most awesome surgeon in the world, or I could, be the Doctor Strange and help people, right? You know,
yeah.
You know, like Iron Man deals with the physical battles of this world. Doctor Strange fights the spiritual battles, right? You
okay.
So it's really deep. I highly recommend it.
Okay,
highly
good
recommend
movie. There you go. Great movie review from Kevin. Now, here's the thing. Now, I haven't been to the movies to see an adult, not adult film in that matter, but
grown-ups.
Yeah,
please rephrase that, yeah.
probably 3 years, but I have seen kid movies.
Right.
Because, when my wife gets free times, her and her girlfriends, they'll go to the movies or they'll go to,
Yeah, we know what they're gonna see.
Yeah. When I get free time, cause again, one of us is obviously watching the kid.
Right.
I go play golf. And but when I do get to go to the movies, it's taking him to the movies.
Right.
I got to see that movie Trolls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very funny. You know, but what's interesting is that they're making these kids movies almost catered to adults.
Right.
Jokes that you know kids won't get, or at least you hope they don't get.
Right.
Get it. But this was very, very good. The music was excellent. The singing was excellent. It was it was a kind of dopey kids movie, but I just liked the music and I liked the singing. It was very funny. And I found myself actually in the movie, enjoying the movie, even though, it being a kids movie.
Now, one thing that Marvel has done and it's gotten to a point where it's irritating is they will wait until after the credits to show a scene that has something to do, because they're all, the whole Marvel universe, all the characters
connected,
they're all connected.
Somehow.
But
that's what I really like too. Yeah, that's what I really really like.
Yeah, but I'm getting tired of it because when they started this movie, the guy said, "Well, I want you after the credits, stay in your seats because it's going to be a scene." It went, "Ooh, ah!" So the credits came, I left. You know, I was protest. I said, "I just go look on the internet and find out, right?" You know, yeah, you know, come on, don't tell me I got to sit there. Mm-hmm. But I think I always think they should put the credits in the beginning because people are going to leave in the end anyway.
That's
right?
A good point.
You ever
notice
on TV like they're doing reruns and sitcoms to put the credits on and they speed them up so they can get.
You know what you notice is that you'll see that a lot of times they're putting the credits, they'll show like maybe the last 30 seconds of the show.
Right.
Like in a small box,
yeah.
Yeah, small box and screen, and then they'll roll the credits at the same time that they're doing. Let's do that with movies. Like, right. in the movie, the last 30 seconds, small, and then run the credits at the same time.
Yeah, if you
time.
Want to see your name, buy the DVD and then pause it for your friends.
Right? So what was the, oh, maybe people, you may not want to do spoilers.
Oh, no, I can't. Well, the movie people will come get me.
Yeah, okay, well, good. Well, yeah, we don't want them to do that because you're our contact inside the theaters. Anyway, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The Redskins take on the Green Bay Packers. Next week, we'll try to get this thing to 6-3-1 on our way to 12-3.
That's where we're going, baby.
And we will again, Stephen A. Smith, be the Kings of the East. Maybe. Who knows? Yeah, whatever. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We'll talk to you next week. Kevin, maybe I'll get some audio from the game and we'll have some fun with some stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like
do that.
We'll
by all means.
We'll see what happens. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.